If you're not measuring yourself, how do you know if you're doing well or if you're not doing well or if any of those things? So first thing is you need a budget. The second thing is we typically look at is inside of that budget, do you?
That is Natalie Barranco. She is the co-founder and partner of Prime Business Advisory Solutions. And what she's talking about right there is one of the key factors. She's going to go through a list of them with you for anybody who's in business, existing, or considering starting a business. These factors are critical to your success. She's going to walk you through them step by step. Now, I'm your host, Yoel Smith. This is the CloseTheDeal.com podcast. And this episode is being brought to you by FranchiseAndFunding.com. And if you've ever dreamt of having your own business, if you want to scratch that itch, maybe you're stuck in a position you want to get out of, you've got options. Maybe this is a dream that's not been realized. You've definitely got options. Check out FranchiseAndFunding.com. Now, let's get to the show. Natalie, I want to welcome you to the CloseTheDeal.com podcast.
Thank you, Yoel. Very excited to be here. Glad to be talking with you today.
Yes, and you are based in New Orleans, so I've got to ask the question, what is your favorite restaurant to take a client, a potential client to, where you're trying to close the deal?
Yep. So I'd have to say my favorite restaurant here in New Orleans would be Desi Vega's Steakhouse down on St. Charles. They do a great job. They're just so welcoming. Everybody's kind of like family. And so, you know, it's just a great place. You get to sit there with your big windows, looking on St. Charles Avenue, watching the streetcar pass. It's just kind of that, it's just everything you think about New Orleans right there. Their service is great. The food is excellent.
What's your favorite dish?
Well, I am partial. Their filet is fantastic. I really don't ever get anything any different. I'm kind of a creature of habit in that way. So it's the same thing every time, but they do a good job. They also have their crystal hot sauce onion rings. Ooh. That have a little bit of twist to them that make that very interesting. So I enjoy that too.
See, the goal of this show is just to make everybody hungry. All right. What are you grateful for? Who or what are you grateful that helped you get you where you are today?
I think I have two answers to that question. So my first one would be my parents. My father was a veterinarian. He owned his own practice and my mom worked with him. And so they had their own business. So I kind of grew up in that entrepreneurial, family-owned business atmosphere and just, you know, really exemplified working as hard as you could, doing what you had to do, and just the sacrifices that come with owning your own business. And I witnessed those firsthand. There's rewards, right? But I also saw the sacrifice side and what they did and their work ethic. And they worked side by side for 41 years. Still were married, still loved each other, but wow. Just set such a great example. And I attribute a lot of my work ethic and those things from them. And they let me see that kind of stuff. So I learned about more financial things than probably a 13 or 14 year old would, because I worked in the business and helped along my sister and I both. And so I would say very grateful to them and for the example that they showed. And then second is my husband. You know, once I met my husband, just a true supporter of what you do and constantly encouraging and challenging, you know, to like, well, let's do this, or can you also take it to this level? So kind of always pushing me a little bit outside of my comfort zone, which everybody needs every now and then. So I would thank my parents and my husband.
And you know what? I'm grateful for your husband too, because I've known John when he first moved here. So he's one of the best in the biz, what he does. So the problem that you identified in the marketplace, because you went into the business to solve the problem, what is the problem you said, okay, this is something I can maybe do it a little differently, do it better? What is your solution? The problem?
Yeah. And I think our solution that we really offer is we're a partner with those business owners, and we not only give advice, but we can implement the solutions, because we're coming from a place where we've been in industry. We've worked as a CFO, a COO, a controller, a general manager. So our consultants had that experience. A lot of people needed a lot of help. And so they had a lot of folks that would give suggestions, right? Or would say, hey, you should do this. but they didn't roll up their sleeves and work alongside their existing employees or learn what they were doing or how, you know, every business has its own nuances to it. And so you can't look out from outside and, hey, go do this. You should do that, because you got to kind of understand their flow and why things are not working as efficiently or why they're having an issue, and then help them to solve it. So I saw a lot of in industry, I was a CFO and I had a lot of folks that would try to help, but they wanted to give me advice looking behind out here, but not really get into what my work was and what the actual issues were to help me get to a solution. And so I saw a lot of that. And so that's kind of why we started and how our company actually got started was that folks were asking for that help. Like, please come in, look at the business, learn the business, and help me improve it. And I implemented that when I was in industry myself, like I was able to do that. But you need that other perspective, you know, that outsider that is not so involved and doesn't understand that bias of like, well, I have to help this group do this and I have to serve this purpose, so that we really can get in there and help. And that can be a long lasting partnership or that could be a project partnership. But we didn't really see anybody in the market that was doing that. And we were getting asked, you know, I personally was getting asked to do more of that.
Now, your background is from a CFO position. Does it start out, or is it primarily financial support? What for service did you start out with? I know you've grown into some other areas.
Yeah, we started out with both financial services and operational services, because the CFO role has expanded so much. In my own role, I teetered between, I was CFO for a couple of years, then I was COO for a couple of years. And so I just kind of bounced back and forth. And a lot of our team members also, that's their journey as well. So we like that financial space, but we love the operational space as well, because processes and the way the information flows, like all of those things go into your financial statements, but there's a lot of things that happen before that. So that's what really has driven our background, is we help in the accounting department. We can help with financial statements and reporting and analysis. My payroll takes too long and those kinds of things. But we can also help on the operational side, like logistics or scheduling, or you have a restaurant and everything's taking too long to make, or things like that. So you kind of weave in and out of both the CFO and COO type help.
Well, there's certain industries that you gravitate, or they gravitate to you.
Yes, we have a lot with tourism and restaurant and hospitality, because we're in this area. My background in those higher level positions was transportation. So that had a little tourism and things like that in it. So I think that kind of gravitates toward us naturally, a lot of construction and then professional services, because a lot of folks, my dad was an example of this as well. He was a great veterinarian, right? Went to school, learned to be a veterinarian. Did not go to business school and learn how to run a business. So they're very good at their craft, right? What they specialize in. But that business, they didn't get any of those courses, maybe at all ever, or maybe at an undergraduate level. And now they're 8 to 12 years beyond that. And so we do a lot of that type of work as well.
What's the biggest glaring problem you see going into a business? I'm curious.
I think it's different for everybody. It's hard to answer broadly, but I think sometimes it's just, you know, underestimating certain things. Some folks get hyper-focused on certain areas. Usually it's the area of the business they're the most comfortable in. So they're hyper-focused in that area, but they've ignored or not really developed another area. And a lot of times we see that on sort of that accounting finance side, or sometimes the marketing side, depending on where their focus is. And they just kind of leave that out there and don't really have a plan for that.
Okay. Well, you just gave me a bridge. You just mentioned marketing. What is your full suite of services that you provide today?
Yes. So again, like we said, we do that kind of CFO finance area. We do a lot of COO operational areas. We work in risk and compliance areas with certain industries. We also work in software conversion. So we're in the middle of a project now with helping, and we do a lot of that, more work of that than I honestly thought we would do in the beginning, but there's a need for that. And then we do marketing services as well. But when we do marketing, we are doing marketing for those that maybe have never done any marketing. They have really no plan, no brand, no budget, things like that. So we help on that end, and we help get them started in the social arena if they're not in social yet, and kind of give them a good base to work with on that end.
In the software side, I want to come back to the marketing for a second, but the software side, you help them automate their systems and processes. Is that basically what you're doing?
Yeah. So software has grown substantially in the last 2 years in our business. And what we have done is originally we were doing a lot of like, they want to change their accounting software. And so we project manage it and we sit in between the company and their accounting team and what it needs, and the software solution provider and how they're going to implement it. And we make sure everybody speaks the same language and they get everything they want. And we help do all the scheduling to make sure they stay on track. And so we do a lot of that. But we've also done it in other professional services settings, like maybe for a law firm. And so it could be a system that's going to do their case management and their accounting. And so we kind of have to go learn that case management. And then it's evolved into, well, I don't want a whole new software, but I want a new AP automation tool, or I want a new point of sale system. And so we're even doing some of those that are outside of just that accounting software piece. Now going into, there's so much out there to automate certain products. Our team is very good at kind of researching and getting up to speed so we can take their data and improve it by AP automation.
Okay. And then on the marketing side, you said you primarily, the start point is just getting people going with their social channels. Is that correct?
It could be social channels. It could be that they want to do, we like to do some video content, right? And so it may be videos kind of explaining what they do and introducing them to the market so people get a feel for them and what they do. We also repurpose those things from websites to their social pages. Could be writing blogs. Maybe they need some blogs. So trying to start, they don't have a Google presence. They don't have a Facebook presence. So kind of trying to put them on the map. It's a package to get them out there and get them seen.
Are you surprised, because you've been doing this for a while and your husband's been in the media side and the marketing side for many years. And like I said, he's one of the best. Are you surprised coming from your role as the CFO to come across businesses that still don't have a marketing presence of any kind, especially social media?
Yeah, it no longer surprises me because it's way more common than you would think. And I find it a lot with startup businesses, right? They think they go through this business plan process. They have all it worked out. They know how their operations is going to work. And then it's like, okay, where's your marketing? Like, how is anybody going to know about you?
And that's right.
It's like, oh, well, I'm going to put up a website. Like, okay. That's great. That's the, you know, you have to have a website, but that's not going to get people to your website. And we talk about it can be small. So when we work with business owners like that, even if you're just putting a couple thousand dollars in there for budget, like start with something and then let us help you leverage that so that then the next year you can increase that. But it is still surprising to me that folks think my marketing budget is my website. And those are two different, very different things.
Yeah, the website alone is a beautiful digital billboard in the desert.
Right.
You know?
Right.
All right. So how do you differentiate your business? I think you've alluded to a few things, but I know your team is unique. How you differentiate yourself is a little unique. You'd really get into the business with people.
Yeah, I think that really is it. We get in there and we help you implement the solution. And I think it's the backgrounds. I have the consultants on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, we have about 20 different consultants on the team and everybody has a little bit of a different background. And the point is that all of us have worked in an industry position. So we've worked for a company. So when we're working with that business owner, we're drawing on our experience of actually being the one that sat in that seat and had to worry about what we're going to implement and how it's going to impact all those employees and how it impacts the bottom line and all of that. So we're not doing that from a perspective of not having been through that before. So I feel it gives us an edge, making us understand that employee's perspective on those changes or whatever we're doing. That person sitting in the seat that's taking them, you know, they're work week has to be 60 hours because they can't get the job done otherwise. All of us on the team have been there, right? And so we want to roll up our sleeves next to them and help get them the best solution possible because it really, we need to get it down to a 40, 45 hour a week job.
So you just were on the cover of Biz New Orleans magazine, which is a big deal in this city. And you've grown to 20 employees. How many years have you been at this? When did you start?
Yes, we started at the beginning of 2017.
Wow. And I know you continue to grow. I know you're trying to find good people. It's always a challenge to find the right people to fit in the culture and has the skill sets that you all have. So you got a good problem.
Yes. It is a good problem. And our company, I think we're very unique in the way we were founded and our culture that we have built here. If you look out at our website and you look through our consultants, you'll see we're primarily female. When my business partner and I got together and we decided to do this business along with our spouses who are also business partners, never in there was like, let's build a female-dominated company. That wasn't something. We laid out how we wanted the company to operate, what we wanted it to be like. And so we're able to give our consultants more work-life balance, if you want to call it that. But really, it's full-time with us, might only be 25 hours a week, but we get their best for that 25 hours. And they're able to have their families and see their kids, or if their kids are grown or if they don't have kids, they can, you know, go to their Pilates class or whenever they want to do. And we started that way in 17. When I talk about that now, that doesn't seem so foreign, right? Because after COVID, a lot of people shifted to this kind of work. We were remote work way back then. But I can tell you in 2017 and 18, people thought I was nuts because yes. They're like, well, your employees don't come to an office. And I'm like, we don't need to do that. And we've attracted some amazing talent that may not be in the workforce if we didn't have what we offer, or they may be in the workforce, but at a lower level than their skill set really is, just because they need the flexibility or the lower stress and hours related to it.
Sure.
And so what that means for our clients is that you're getting a CFO in your organization helping to solve your problems, or you're getting a very high level controller, because that's the way we built. You know, I've been very fortunate. Our team is fantastic. And none of all of the things you mentioned were possible without this very great team that we've assembled.
Awesome. I want to get to some tips. When you go into a business, what are the top suggestions that you make to a business that you help with, or that you suggest that they look at, even if they're not working with you? What are the top things you see that there's the biggest needs for?
Sure. Well, one thing we always talk about is a budget. It's kind of like a dirty word to a business owner. They're scared of that. It's not a scary process. It doesn't have to be this big, long, drawn out thing, but just a budget. And we can help with that. We can give suggestions. We can do it, or we can just say, hey, go look at what you did last year and just plan for that this year. And then it's just a way to measure yourself. If you're not measuring yourself, how do you know if you're doing well or if you're not doing well, or if any of those things? So first thing is you need a budget. The second thing is we typically look at is inside of that budget, do you have marketing separated out? And commit to whatever that is. And like I said before, if it's $1,000, it's $2,000, it's a percentage, whatever it is, start small so you're not feeling like you're biting off more than you can chew, but have that in there so that becomes part of your spending culture. Then they're like, okay, so now you have this budget and we want to measure. What are you measuring against? So have you set any goals, any financial goals? I mean, they can be small, they can be big, they can be reduced debt, they could be improved profitability, increase revenue, whatever those look like. But define those, and then those guide your decision making, right? Because you should be making toward that. And then your budget is helping you to measure, did you do what you wanted to do? Or do you have some work to do? And it might bring you some issues that you might not, you know, uncover some things that you might not be seeing. And then the last thing I talk about with everybody, which I know I've said a million times, is this whole sale ready concept. We have a lot of generational business owners in Louisiana, right? They want to pass this down generation to generation. And maybe they want to sell, but maybe they don't. But it's the concept that helps you regardless of your intention. And that's documenting all your policies and procedures. So what I mean by that is like, look at your position. Like, what do they do? And you need to have that written down so that you understand what they do and how they do it. And so if they leave, which is happening to a lot of folks, you know what to do. You know at least the basics of what's happening. If you want to sell it, if you want to grow another location, you know, a lot of folks come to us, I want to open another location. Well, it has to be duplicatable, right? So what are they doing? And so you have that, it's the roadmap, you know, for everything that happened. And then lastly, I'll say, you know, is consider working with an expert. You know, we're strategy business consultants, so maybe that's us or maybe that's somebody else, but start to work with that external person.
They're going to need that for sure. Everybody needs some coaching along the way, and the experts save you a lot of time. Actually, there's an investment that they make, but it saves them a lot more time and a lot more money in the long run for sure. So the budget, the marketing, the measurements and their goals to be sale ready, and then be expert. And I'm leaving off one. What was that one?
Nope, that was it. You got them all summed up.
That's the list.
It's
all
a
right.
List. That's
so,
a list.
And you know what's amazing to me? Those are such basic things, right? This is so basic. Every business needs it. I work with in the franchise world and the systems and the processes and the they don't put them, you cannot put a franchise out into the marketplace unless you have those things. And I want to drill down on the marketing piece because you can have the best product in the world and there's no attention coming to it. There's no business. There's no sales. There's no cash flow. None of that happens. And you'll keep growing your business and I've enjoyed watching your journey through and listening it through John over the years. What is the vision you have going forward for your business?
Sure. And you know, as much as we talk about goals and things like that, our vision has just always been rooted in like helping businesses. I mentioned about my history with my family, being around family business. I love that journey. I just enjoy it so much. And when we work with folks, even if it's just a small time, like for a short time, we become a little small piece of their legacy. So then you see them do great things and you're like, oh, remember, we helped them do that. So our vision is still just to continue to help as many businesses as we can. I think our company will continue to grow because I have a hard time saying no to family business because I just enjoy it so much. And that's a lot of what we have here. Obviously, we do other things than just family business, but I just love helping them be able to grow and being a piece of that. So in order to do that, right, I have to have more people to do that. So I just keep getting larger and larger than I thought I would. But good people will allow us to be able to do that. And so I just see us continuing to just partner with those businesses. And it helps, you know, our area be able to, you know, the more we grow and show sustainable business in our area, that's more attractive to other businesses to come to this area. So it's our little role in economic development.
And I want to bring home one more point for you. I believe you have clients outside of New Orleans too.
Yes, I do.
You service, how far do you service away? You service?
We're going everywhere. So I have Colorado and I mean, we're all over the place. Distance is not an issue for us. So we can be anywhere.
Call to action. Where do people find you?
Yeah. So our website is primebas.com. And you can learn more about us there. There's also the opportunity, if you have something you want to speak to us about, we do free consultations. And so you can reach out to us there and we can get that scheduled.
Fantastic. Well, Natalie, this has been fun. I think you've provided some really solid foundational tips for people to, if they're new to this, is to look at and figure out how do they start implementing on those things today, not tomorrow, but today.
Right.
And I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having us. You'll appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And that is a wrap with Natalie Barranco. And the last tips that she provided were invaluable to anybody currently in business. Because if you're not doing one of those, you're not reaching your potential. If you're missing one of those points that she made. And if you're considering getting in a business, they're essential for you to be able to scale and grow your business. You need systems and processes. And another point I love to drive home with people all the time is you've got to have marketing to get attention to grow your business as well. Without the marketing, who knows about your business? Nobody. So if you've ever considered having your business, starting a business is tough. Having a roadmap that's already been laid out for you to buy a franchise, to invest, I should say, in a franchise, that makes things a little smoother. If you would like to learn a little bit more, check out yourfirstfranchise.com. Yourfirstfranchise.com. This episode is brought to you by Franchise and Funding. Now, you know the drill. Be intentional and make it a great day.